You know, one of the primary topics across all of the Bible is the theme of love. We see love described from the very beginning to the very end. We're told that God is love. Greater love is, there's nothing beyond this, that one should lay down their life for their friend. We're told all over what love is in the biblical sense. And yet in our world, people have so many different views of what it means to be in love. People have this idea that it's really tied to attraction. Like there's something in my vibrations and your vibrations and we just jive. Like there's this force that draws people together, that there's a compulsion that they just can't deny and you can't stay away from. Some people would say that it's just an emotional feeling. It's something that's inside the heart. And honestly, that's not really the way the Bible describes it. But the world goes that direction all the time, especially in music. Like, we've got this phrase, to fall in love, right? And everybody, you know, young people just want to fall in love and find their person. Elvis Presley wrote a very famous song called Can't Help Falling in Love. And let's look at those lyrics. And I wish Jason was up here to sing with me. But you guys know this. Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Cut. I did okay. I should be on the worship team. And then we got the chorus, like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes, some things are meant to be. Like he's got in this whole song, it's just this, I have no control over it, but I'm just drawn to you and the two of us are meant to be. The problem is we don't know which of the six women that Elvis Presley was romantically connected with he sang this song to. So he probably all of them. He was committed to them until he wasn't. I found another quote by Dennis Quaid, who on his fourth marriage said to a woman 39 years younger than him, you never know when love is coming, who it's going to be, and you have no control over it. And he had no control to stop loving the first three wives that he was married to. If love is something that you just fall into, that you have no control over whatsoever, it's a force that just moves you, then it would make sense that every person in all the world would fall in love with God. God is infinite, immeasurable, the most handsome, the smartest, the strongest, the best, the most loving, the most caring. He knows every single detail about you, and he has your best in mind. And yet, most people choose not to love God. They maybe have a romantic feeling like, man, I really want to know God. But loving God is more than just a force that draws you in. It's a commitment that you have to make to him every single day. Every day, you make little micro decisions that are aligned with God, or that go against what you know God wants. And as followers of Jesus who say, yes, God, I love you, to do that year over year, it's not because you've got just these warm fuzzies and emotional feelings. It's because you are committed to make a choice to love God each and every day. But this raises the question, how do you love God? It's not like God is like a spouse that lives with you and you physically see and you can do things for and physically touch and say things to and know that they hear it. And up to this point, what we've seen in the Gospel of John, where we're going to be today in John chapter 14 and 15, but what we've seen is all the things that God has done for us. Jesus says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Basically, follow me and I will get you to heaven. He said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you and inside you and lead you and guide you. And so we've seen all these things that God is doing for us. But today we're going to look at the verses where Jesus tells us our side of the equation, our responsibility, what we are supposed to do to love God. And he repeats a connection over and over between love and what he deems as the symbol of love. And it's not romance. It's not spiritual intimacy. It's not even sacrifice or offerings. He ties together love with obedience. I don't think a lot of people think of those things as going together, but he says, if you love me, then you will obey. He says, love means that you're willing to do what the other person wants for you. In marriage, we don't think about obedience, but we do understand our spouses told us they like it when you do these things. And so following the rules means when you drink from the cup, put it in the dishwasher, please, because they don't want dirty cups on the counter. Or it might mean like you know that your spouse loves quality time, then you need to make time to be with them. That's how you obey their rules, if you will. With kids, rules are a lot more clear, right? We understand we have rules for our children, and we expect as kids that as they love us, they'll do the things that we ask them to do, and they won't break the rules that we've told them not to do. So like we understand this in a very relational sense in our own lives. And so it shouldn't surprise us then that Jesus gives us the same rule. He says, if you love me, obey my commands. Like last week, there's actually, he comes back to this topic over and over. He cycles through it four times in a chapter and a half. And so we're right now going to look through all four of those passages, beginning in John chapter 14, verse 15. First passage. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. And we talked about that last week. That's the Holy Spirit. Love me, obey my commandments, and he will give you another advocate. Then if you go down a few verses to verse 20, Jesus said, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And so we see this passage a lot of God is in Jesus, and Jesus is in God, and Jesus is in us, and we're in Jesus. And the thing that ties it all together is love and obedience. In verse 23, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. He's kind of drawing a line. My followers who say they love me, they'll obey. The rest of the world who's not interested in me, they won't obey. How do you decide, or how do you determine from looking at a person if they're a follower of Jesus or not? Jesus is just saying the sign is whether they obey me or not. Now, if you jump to John chapter 15, this picks up right after Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. I talked about that several weeks ago in the I Am series. But right at the end of that, in verse 11, it says, I have told you these things so that you will be... Nope, I got to jump up. Sorry. Verse 9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Do you see this is rather repetitive here, isn't it? Jesus keeps coming back over and over to some really common themes, and he's trying to make sure that they don't miss his point. The first theme on love that Jesus is trying to teach is that love is part of oneness. If you want to be one with Jesus, then you love him. And as you love him, that's how you're actually grafted in. Jesus and God are one. And we see that clearly earlier. We talked about this earlier in John chapter 14. And at this point, now Jesus is opening that up. And he's saying, it's not just me and God who are tied together with the Holy Spirit in this perfect Trinity. But now I'm tied with you through this bond of love as well. We've got this verse in 14:20. I am in my Father. That's the Trinity. And you are in me and I am in you. And that's through the Holy Spirit. That is incredible news. We miss that sometimes. We're like, well, yeah, I just believe in Jesus. No, we do more than believe in Jesus. We have the very presence and spirit of Jesus inside of us today. And he's saying, you abide in me. You put yourself in me. And together, that love is what creates a oneness. Okay? This is an incredible point Jesus cycles over and over saying. And then he lists out five benefits of what it means to have this love and oneness with God. He said, you'll receive the Spirit. You'll be loved by God. Jesus reveals himself to us. God and Jesus will make his home with us via his Spirit. We are filled with joy is what it very ends with in John chapter 15, verse 11. When we get this love piece right, we have the Spirit inside of us. We have connection with God. Who doesn't want connection with God? This world longs for connection with God. They're just going a million different ways. And Jesus is saying, loving me, that's the way. And then more than that, Jesus is going to reveal himself to us. And God and Jesus are going to make their home with us and in us. Like this connection people long for, to know the divine and for the divine to know them. Jesus is laying it out so clearly. He says, it comes through me. Love me. And then you'll experience joy like you never have before. And this leads to the obvious third point. Obedience is how to show love. It's the outward marker that cannot be faked. It proves that love is that you've made a choice to love somebody. I can say to my wife, Michelle, I love you, and then have an affair on the side and be like, honey, I'm sorry, I love you. Is she going to feel love at that point? No, because my words don't measure up to actions. Love is a commitment. Love is a choice. Love is more than just saying, but I'll do all sorts of things. I'm sorry. I'll do the dishes and the laundry and the vacuuming forever, and I'll scratch your back every single night. Okay? These are the things that people are like, you know, I'll do all these things. And Jesus is saying, no. It's just obedience. That's how we get to show our love. Yes, these other things are important, but they don't make up for it on their own. So for instance, to love God, it's not simply through sappy love songs, though that's a part of loving God. I love worshiping Jesus through song. I love it. But there are a lot of people, I think, who live their life however they want, and then they come to church, and then they're like, yes, I love this song, hands in the air, standing up, singing at the top of their lungs, and then they walk out of here, and they're not obeying any of God's commands. And God's saying, that's not cool. Like, I want obedience. I don't just want the worship songs. I don't just want you to speak with your words. I want you to live it out. 1 John chapter 3:18 gives us a verse for this. He writes, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Words can be very empty if they don't have actions that back them up. Additionally, you don't show love just through sacrifice or offerings. That's what I was the back scratching, the cleaning the house. I'll do all this. I'm so sorry I made this mistake. I'll do all this stuff. That's me trying to make up sacrifice or offering for disobedience. And while that's part of loving God, like, God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me of my sins. I'll turn from him. But then if I just keep doing it over and over and over, God's saying, do you really love me? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, we read, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. God was saying this way back in the Old Testament. He's not looking for you to just say you love him. He's not looking for you to do all the sacrifices when you mess up. He wants obedience. Obedience is the outward sign that you choose to love somebody. As a parent, we know that we are loved when we are obeyed. But if you have a kid who writes you the sappy birthday card, I love you, mom, you're the best mom in the entire world. And when they mess up, they're like, I'm so sorry, I'll fix it, I'll make up for it, don't be mad at me, blah, 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 and they cry, whatever. And then they keep doing the same thing over and over. You get to a point as a parent where you stop feeling sympathy, right? And you start being like, just obey what I told you to do. Just do what I asked you to do. I'm trying to do this for your best. Show me you care about me as a parent, that you respect my rules in any way. It's through obedience is really what matters there more than the rest of it. It's all a part of showing love, not saying that those things are wrong. You know, the words of affirmation or the sacrifice and the obedience. But if they are not combined with, or sacrifice and worship, if they're not combined with obedience, it falls flat. And now there's one fourth point we have to make here, though. And it is found earlier in John, and that's that obedience alone is not love. Based on what I've said, you could come to the place like, okay, Ryan, then I'm just going to know every rule about the Bible, and I'll follow every rule to a T, and that's how I'll show God that I love him. But that's what the Pharisees were trying to do, and they didn't love God, and Jesus called them out on it. In John chapter 5, verse 39 through 42, Jesus tells this to the Pharisees. It's harsh. He said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you'll have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. The Pharisees loved the rules, but they didn't love the rule giver. And just loving the rules and following the rules by itself does not get you to love. As a parent, maybe you've had a kid that you know they're mad at you. And they're like, fine, I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. And they're doing the dishes, giving you the stink eye. Like, yeah, they're following the rules. They're doing what you asked them to do. But you know, relationally, we are miles apart at this point. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. They're following the rules, but their heart was not at one with God in any way. Okay, so we've got to understand, Jesus isn't in this passage telling us, okay, guys, just become complete rule followers. Okay, we've got to actually find an in-between here. So what does this all mean then at those times when you disobey God? All of us at one time or another could find ourselves in the part of these verses where we are the ones who are disobeying God. Does that mean that we have lost God's love? Well, there's two extreme views on how people respond to this question. What about those times you disobey God? The first are people who believe that obedience is everything. That they would say, when you are obeying God, he loves you. But when you disobey God, you are not showing him love, and he removes his love from you. They would say that there becomes a point where salvation is taken away, that each misstep you make, you step out of God's love for good, to the point of no longer having salvation until you pray a prayer of forgiveness, and then God loves you again, and then you're saved again. Until you screw up again, and then you're out, and hopefully nothing bad happens to you until you pray again and ask God to forgive you, and then you're back in. And it becomes kind of a yo-yo effect, and it's a very It's a very insecure faith, because you never feel sure that God is loving you and accepting you and that you're a part of his family. And you're basing your salvation on how good you are at following the rules. But your salvation has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God's good grace and his forgiveness and his acceptance for all who believe and put faith in Jesus. As a kid, I experienced that insecure faith, and it stinks. It stinks when you're like, well, am I a Christian right now? If I were to die in a car accident right now, would I go to heaven or hell? Like last week, I would have said yes, but man, this week I haven't been listening to my mom very well. And what if this is going on? Like, that's not how we're supposed to take these verses, that our obedience directly impacts God's love for us. Yes or no, yes or no. The other extreme here, though, is to go the other direction, and that is obedience is optional. God loves you. By his grace, he's forgiven you, and so he's going to accept you for who you are and whatever you do and however you live, and you don't need to worry about it. There's no consequences whatsoever. You've said a prayer once. You said, I believe in Jesus, and now you can live for yourself completely and not worry about anything until you end up joining Jesus in heaven, maybe speaking to him for the first time in many, many years. And I think many of us hear that view, and we right away tense up, like we understand that's not a position to put yourself in either, okay? Jesus tells us, if you love me, obey my commands. He wants us to have a heart that cares for him, and as a result, that we want to do what he asks us to do. And so both of these views are incomplete, and they are wrong. Our obedience to Jesus is important, but it is not everything. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and even as we remain sinners saved by grace, trying to figure it out through sanctification, Jesus still forgives us, loves us, and has us adopted into his family as sons and daughters of God. He forgives us. The point you need to understand here is that disobedience breaks fellowship, not relationship. Okay? Disobedience breaks fellowship, not relationship. I keep going back to examples with teenagers because they break rules all the time. No offense. If you were raised in teens and you got into a phase of life where they just weren't listening to you very well, they were doing their own thing, did they stop being your child? No. They're still your son. They're still your daughter. Is the fellowship between you broken or at least damaged? You don't trust them very much. They're not very happy with you. The relationship feels stressed and strained? Absolutely. But you don't say, you know what? You've been disobedient. You're not my child anymore. The same is true with God. When we disobey, it breaks fellowship. Ultimately, it becomes harder to hear the Spirit of God speaking to us when we've been denying everything he's been saying. When he's like, hey, do this. Nope, do this. Nope, stop doing this. No, I'll do what I want, Holy Spirit. Eventually, we stop hearing the Spirit's leading. But it doesn't mean that God is saying, you're cut off, you're no longer a child. The Spirit of God is removing himself from you. And then you become saved again and the Spirit of God comes back in you. And then you start doing a bunch of bad stuff and the Spirit of God leaves you again. You've got this yo-yo Holy Spirit. I kind of was raised with this in my younger years. I went off to college and I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which at the time was a giant party school. And I fell in with what everybody does at the University of Wisconsin. And you just drink every Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Was I close to God at that point? Not at all. Could I hear the Holy Spirit, on a few rare occasions, he broke through, like two or three memories I have where I was like, oh, God made himself very real in this weird time of my life where I wasn't trying to follow God at all. But in those 5 years, did God say, Ryan, I'm done with you. You're no longer my son. You're no longer my child. The Holy Spirit has left you. No, that didn't happen. I was a follower of Jesus before I went to college. Even though I was not following well, I was disobedient through those years. And God's love was impacted. Our relationship was severed. It was damaged, I should say. But we didn't lose relationship. And so that Spirit of God kept working on me and drawing me in and drawing me back. And that's the good news about God. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you can make really bad decisions. We all do that. But God doesn't leave you as a result. Though there are natural consequences to that relationship and what's going to happen. And now if you find yourself right now and you're like, Ryan, I'm kind of in that part of this situation. Like, I believe in Jesus, but man, I'm not an obedient child of God right now. Then here's what you need to hear. Like, don't wait and be like, well, but Ryan just said God still loves me. Like, line yourself up. If you love God, if you say I'm a follower of Jesus and I believe this stuff, then do what he says. That's what Jesus told us to do. If you believe, then do what I say. If you think that I truly am the Son of God, then just do what I told you to do. It's that simple. Jesus is for us. He wants us to have relationship with him. Maybe you've heard of the unpardonable sin, and some people are afraid. Have I committed the unpardonable sin that Jesus will never take me back? There's only one sin that you cannot be forgiven from, and that is unbelief. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you can't be forgiven by Jesus. That's the sin. So if you say, no, Jesus, I want you, I need you, I'm not, this world's not working for me anymore, I want to put my belief in you, I want to put my faith in you, it doesn't matter what your history it is, it doesn't matter how many times you've walked away from God, Jesus is saying, come to me, I love you, I want to be in you, you can be in me, now start obeying these things that I've told you to do so that you can bear fruit, so that you can make a difference in other people's lives, so that you can experience the joy that I want you to experience. You've got to understand, this passage here is really not ultimately about if a person is saved or not. The passage is about relationship. Like you see on the screens, the point, Jesus is saying, if you believe, if you love me, then just do it, I say. If you're in relationship with me, it's really, really easy. So stop focusing on the sin that you've done. Just get back up and start obeying. Stop focusing on, did I lose my salvation or not? Don't worry about that. Get up and follow Jesus and obey. Because if you believe who he says he claims to be, then your focus should simply be on him and what he's told you to do. And next week, we're going to get to the rules that Jesus commands us to do. And you might be surprised. It's a heck of a lot fewer rules than what you might be expecting. So let's pray.